3 of Putzing Around. We are your hosts, Nick and Mike. How are you doing today, Nick?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm good. Ready to get rolling.
3 weeks. I can't believe it.
I know. We've lasted this long and with no sponsorships.
I don't know what's going on. I mean,
you'd think someone.
Yeah, our thousands of listeners need to campaign for us.
Yeah, really. I mean, Disney, George Lucas, get out there and pay the bills.
Yeah.
So I thought we could start things off with talking about smart homes.
Okay.
And basically the technology behind them and kind of what they're used for. And so, Nick, what do you have? Do you have a smart home device? Any sort of...
You know, I live in a small apartment in New York, so I don't really get to, install a thermostat or a buzzer or things like that. So all I really have is like a Google Home speaker.
How do you like it?
I like it a lot. It was a gift, and I use it mainly for music and timers and like basic questions for like the weather, things like that. I did buy one smart, not bulb, but like a little plug you plug in the wall, and then you plug like a lamp into that, and then okay. You can be like, blah, 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 turn on the lamp. So, you know, it's kind of baby steps into this like automated home, and I could definitely see, you know, in a bigger place, it being like a portal to some larger security network by Google or whatever company.
I have a multi-floored house, and I have Control 4, and it's interesting, you know, it makes life more convenient. I can dim the lights, I can turn them on and off. It's connected to my heating and cooling, so I could turn on the AC, turn it off room by room or whatever, and I could turn on the security system. I like that in that it provides convenience. If we're away, we forgot to put on the alarm, we can even check or change the temperature, turn the mm-hmm. lights on and off. It's a little wonky in that we were not allowed to set it up. We actually had to use a Control 4 approved contractor.
Whoa.
To basically set it up. And then if anything goes wrong, we can't change anything. We're even locked out. We've tried, my wife has tried to change things in the system, and we were actually frozen out by the password. So that's wow. A little, I don't love not having control of my own home systems if they break or if I want to change something.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously it's nice to have that kind of incremental convenience in my life. But there's always the question of at what cost, and I'm surprised that there isn't, a super kind of easy to set up version of this. That maybe there is, maybe, you know, we just, this is the system that came with the house, and it was a new construction house, and maybe there's nothing else out there, but I just feel like it would have been nice to have. I'd like to be in control of every aspect of the house. I like to know that I can fix it if I need to, and this feels a little like I'm borrowing someone else's thing, kind of, if that, you know, makes any sense.
Yeah, that's interesting. Of all, you know, smart appliances, like a security system is something I would think, you know, the homeowner and user would need full control over. But I guess I could also see the security side of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, and, you know, I do have full control on the user interface, where I can turn it on and off and different alarm settings or whatever. It's just that, you know, I suppose the admin, who is the contractor, has the actual full control. Hmm. And I'm kind of relying on the fact that he's a nice guy to not screw around with the lights or whatever. It also makes it where there's, you know, a yearly subscription.
Yeah.
Of $100 to use. And it's not terrible, but you know, it's okay. So what if I don't want to, you know, what if I don't want to pay it and suddenly I'm locked out of my own home automation? That's a little weird to me. I feel a little held hostage, not in mm-hmm. any sort of terrible way, but just, you know, a minor hostage situation.
Of course. Do you have any other smart speakers or anything like that at your house?
We have Sonos speakers, and so we can play music from our phones. And that, again, I like when it works, but apparently there's software updates all the time,
mm-hmm.
and the integration between Control 4 and Sonos is not... they've frankly putzed around with it a few times. Not to plug our show, but they've messed around with it a few times so that sometimes they don't sync up and we have to download, I don't know if it's drivers or whatever, if that's from, you know, 1998, but we've had to do certain things and download certain things to make sure everything works together. That's a little bit annoying. I basically, you know, I'd almost prefer like a separate system where I play something on my phone, it plays out of a speaker, you know, and that's it, as opposed to... I think maybe when a company tries to do everything, they don't do, you know, the simple things right.
Exactly.
Yeah. And my wife, who's amazing with tech, she actually knows how to do all of this. And, you know, maybe she's just saying that I'm frankly just, I need to get better at it, which is true. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's just not as simple as I think it should be.
Yeah. I mean, it shouldn't take like a millennial to like use these home security or speaker systems.
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah, you know, I'm definitely interested in some of the Nest products in particular.
Right.
And they've been reabsorbed now back into Google proper. They were purchased by Google, but then kind of put in this like Alphabet kind of like sub company.
Okay.
And now they've been reabsorbed. So, you know, we got to see their financials in this recent quarterly update for Google, and it really seems like Google's pouring a ton of money, I think over $1 billion, into new hardware like smart cameras and doorbells and all things like that. And I love Google on one side, I'm also terrified of them in another, but it seems like, yeah, some of the big tech companies like Amazon and Google in particular are trying to take over the home, and then there's these companies like the one that you have that are more, you know, real security firms that are, you know, have been doing this for quite some time. And I don't think anyone really has it figured out, but slowly we're beginning to see more of this stuff adopted in everyone's homes. And, you know, it's exciting, but I don't think anyone has it figured out just yet.
You know, it does feel like to me, you know, having grown up in the 90s, I mean, I do feel like the future, it's pretty cool. You know, when you go over a friend's house that has Alexa or Google Home or something, I mean, that's fun that you can ask, you know, what's the weather, play a song, whatever. I mean, that to me is still kind of incredible. Again, you know, we've gotten into this before, I get a little worried about privacy.
Sure.
You know, so we were gifted an Alexa and we haven't set it up yet for that reason, for the privacy concern reasons, but you know, I think it's probably something we should just get over and stop being so paranoid about, but, you know, it does provide an incredible convenience. I think it's cool. I just like have to get over myself, and there's nothing that privacy is going a little bit by the wayside anyway, but.
I don't know. Having a Google Home, it is neat, but I wouldn't tell people you'd like run out and buy these things. Like they're not that essential yet. But, you know, more and more you see it being integrated into, like, the TV and smart appliances and,
right,
you know, a future where you tell it to, you know, turn off all the lights or, like, preheat the oven or, I don't know, run the laundry, things like that, where it really could run every appliance in your home, you know, sound great. But, again, we're years away from that.
You know, another thing, there's one piece of technology I cannot wait for. It is either a robot or a machine. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just a box that you put stuff in, but something to fold laundry.
Oh my God. I was literally just going to say this after your thought, but that's exactly what we need.
Oh my God. I mean, I can't fathom how many days of my life that would save. That would be, and you know what? I've even looked online and there are some companies that are making them, and but you kind of have to like prep the clothes.
Yeah, exactly.
Beforehand, like first, it costs a fortune and it takes up like half a room, and then you have to prep the clothes, which I don't want to do. What I want to do is literally just have a bag of laundry.
Yeah,
just dump it in, not sort it, not do anything, and I want this thing to figure out how to fold it.
Sure.
And spit it out to me as folded clothes. That would be, I don't want to say as powerful as the invention of like the toilet or the internet, but that would be,
oh my God,
think about how many hours everyone on earth,
nobody enjoys doing laundry, nobody,
except for, you know, nudists would be the only people that this wouldn't drastically alter their lives.
Wow.
This would be a great piece of technology.
Yeah. I mean, I would just love like a washer machine sized device where you throw something in and it washes it, dries it, and then, and like the bottom, maybe there's a little tray that that you open and it's like folded. It does the whole thing.
Oh, I'm not even asking for that. I will wash it and dry it. I just want something to fold.
Just a That's folding the, machine.
Just the folding. Oh my God. That
I want
would...
the whole thing. I want the whole
You know,
pie.
And what's funny though, I want to, if something could not just fold it, but this is truly probably asking for too much, but if something could fold the laundry and put it back in its right drawer, that would be incredible. Like, that would be, I don't, the word miraculous gets thrown around a lot, but that would truly be a miracle. Because right now, you know, even after you fold it, it's just sitting in piles.
It's there, yeah.
Like, I literally, you know, I've spent the last week maybe folding, you know, eight hours of my life.
Sure.
Basically folding laundry, and literally none of it is back on the shelf. It is sitting in the living room, just on a chair.
Wow.
Waiting for me to pick the top thing. And what am I going to wear today? Whatever's on top of the pile.
Exactly.
That's what I'm wearing. So that would be miraculous. And if Google could get on that. Oh.
This is a real first world problem that needs solving. I know there's some terrible, you know, illnesses and famine out there, but this is something we need to put all of our resources in as a society.
Listen, this is how progress is made. And sometimes you don't know how, who knows, maybe this folding machine could also be applied to like cured cancer or something.
Yeah.
You never know what these
could sterilize.
Kind
of,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we don't know what kind of applications this could have.
Maybe we should just start a folding tech company.
Oh my God. I wouldn't need, you know what I would do? I would just put for the prototype, I'd have a big, you know, box with buttons on the outside, but I think I'd be hiding inside just folding
exactly.
laundry.
Just like, sitting in there folding tediously for hours.
Oh my God. But you know what? With the current like state of startup companies, I bet we could get $1 billion for that.
I was gonna say, yeah, go on Kickstarter. You could easily get like a million pre-orders.
Oh my God. We should do that.
All right. Don't tell anyone this miraculous idea.
Yeah. It's not like we're broadcasting it on the radio or anything. So you were talking about the Disney Fox situation.
Yeah, this was a story I read earlier this week on The Verge, and I'll put a link to it in the show notes. A few months ago, it came out, or I think it was even a year ago, that Disney was acquiring the majority of 20th Century Fox and some of Fox proper, some of their like television networks. And that's kind of old news, although still in the process of going through. But this week, we found out that Verizon and Comcast also made some pretty substantial bids to acquire Fox as well during this whole process, which was never released to the public before. And, you know, Disney acquiring, you know, one studio acquiring another, to me, I don't like. I'd rather there be more in competition, but I understand how capitalism works. You know, but these telecom companies trying to gobble up content companies, it's a little nerve-wracking. And especially Verizon and Comcast, two companies, you know, don't have the same love and admiration that Disney has, even though they're a huge company that probably does a lot of, you know, things we'd rather not hear about. But I think people understand that acquisition much more than Verizon and Comcast, where it really just seems like a greedy kind of content acquisition. So I don't know. What do you think about it?
You know, yeah, I would say you're right in that how Disney treats their content. They treat it with such respect, and they really try to foster, you know, they're out there to make a buck like any company is, but they really, I feel like they've done a great job of handling their content. You know, I remember when Marvel was bought, when Star Wars was bought, people were terrified that, you know, how would they treat, you know, the characters, and oh God, it's gonna get Disneyfied, and whatever that means. And they've done a remarkable job growing the stories and incremental stories that you know, for things that were never told. Yeah, they brought in the most amazing storytellers and artists to really craft these things. And I feel like with, you know, maybe it's not giving Verizon and Comcast a fair shake, but what else are they known for except for questionable customer service? I don't know. Whatever cable company you have, I feel like you're always trying to escape to another one, you know? It's just, I don't know, they haven't done anything terrific. I mean, you know, I'm happy with my internet, I guess, but you know, it's not like they've done anything, you know. This just seems like they're trying to get a lock on content, like so many companies. Amazon is, and Netflix is, you know, and everyone's bidding for content, and I'd almost, in the battle for the stories, I guess I'd rather have the, you know, 800-pound corporate gorilla being Disney than Verizon or Comcast, even though that's, you know, I don't know if that's a good choice or not, but it's the best of a lousy group.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good way of putting it.
So the thing I'm most excited about is that the X-Men will join the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
You know, I couldn't agree more. That's like all I think about when all I think I want. About this deal.
That's all I want. I don't even know what other assets Fox has. That's all I care about. But I feel like X-Men, I mean, there's so many. I mean, the X-Men universe has as many characters as probably the rest of Marvel combined. It's going to be incredible. Yeah. Can you imagine, you know, Wolverine and Spider-Man and, oh my God. It would be amazing.
It's great. On the week that the new Avengers movie comes out, I'm sure Marvel is already planning, you know, Avengers 11 with Wolverine and the whole other cast of, you know, the Fantastic Four and everybody else in there. So.
I hope so. God, who do they think that who could play Wolverine better than, what's his name? Hugh Jackman. He was great.
Yeah, he was phenomenal. It's probably some 17-year-old kid we've never heard of.
Yeah.
Just like they've done with Spider-Man, we'll have a dozen people playing this character before we know it.
You know, I used to work with a woman whose name was Logan, and every time I said her name, I couldn't help but kind of imagine her smoking a cigar, just having adamantium claws come out of her arms. And I was so excited.
With the chops on the beard.
God, that would have been terrific. I mean, she was amazing. She was very friendly and, you know, definitely would much rather have her than some sort of like ticked off mutant X-Men, you know, especially when looking at spreadsheets. But so, yeah, I guess just, you know, as a kid, it would be nice to work with Wolverine.
Absolutely.
So speaking about different types of content, my wife and I were watching, I don't know how much you've seen of this, but Black Mirror on Netflix. Incredible. I don't know if the word is dystopian television show on Netflix. It's great where it reminds me a ton of The Twilight Zone.
Sure.
You know, 1 hour episodes or 45 minute episodes, whatever they are, of basically dealing with a theme, some sort of technological theme and how it could potentially have negative consequences. So I wanted to ask you and ask our audience, if you want to email us, you know, what are some of your favorite dystopian works of art, of media?
Yeah, you know, I've watched a little bit of Black Mirror. I'm not all caught up, but it's definitely something I want to keep watching. You know, not film or television related, The Last of Us. Have you played that game?
Oh, I did play a little bit, but...
Phenomenal game. You know, it's very much based on The Road, which is a great dystopian book, and I think they did a film on it as well, which I haven't seen. But that video game has stuck with me. God, it probably came out like 6 or 7 years ago, but phenomenal story, you know, kind of zombies, the whole, you know, father daughter kind of relationship.
Have you read or seen The Circle, the book by Dave Eggers, or the movie starring Tom Hanks?
You know, I know the book. To be honest, I started reading it and I think I just got busy with something else and put it down and never got back to it. But I've heard great things. My fiance's read it. She loves it. I haven't seen the movie, but a lot of people talk about that book.
It is incredible. Basically, it's probably the most realistic of the dystopian works of art, in that it's basically a tech company that is involved in everything. They make incredible services that change the world for the better.
Mm-hmm.
But behind that, they're doing things with privacy. Basically, they're getting involved in not just reading all of our email, but they're having us all filmed and analyzing it so they can, you know, provide better services for us.
Sure.
And get us all better jobs and better, you know, we can order better crap to our house. And, you know, but it deals with where do we draw the line on privacy?
Sure.
And, you know, it involves something which is not too probably far away, but everyone wears a little camera around their, as a necklace, and eventually, you know, they're filming everything. And it's not, you know, it's a very realistic apocalypse kind of thing. But like, you can kind of see it as a slow build, and unless people kind of do something about it, that's probably the way that the future will go.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason there's so much of this content nowadays. You know, these big five tech companies, pretty much the most powerful companies in the world, at least here in the US. And yeah, there's a, you know, kind of a privacy story probably every other week about leaking someone's data or, you know, credit card info getting out or addresses. So, yeah, these are, you know, very real issues that need to be addressed or, yeah, sooner or later, you know, there will be no such thing as privacy.
Yeah.
Speaking of dystopian, did you watch Westworld Sunday night?
Oh, I didn't see the new season. How is it?
You know, we don't have to get into it. It was good. It was a good start. Obviously, a lot of, you know, a lot of questions, a lot of mystery. But, you know, there, you know, that is definitely kind of a dystopian future in one shape. And, yeah, they're kind of pushing the envelope a little more in kind of a funky sci-fi Western sense. So, yeah, it was a really good first episode, and I'm excited for the rest of the season.
I've got to catch up on that. I loved the first season. I even, here's the thing. I almost feel like they didn't need a sequel season. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I just, it ended in Robot Uprising, and that's kind of all I need to know. It was like a warning shot.
I was happy with that. Although now, and especially before this first episode of season two, I was like, I have no idea where this show's going. It's kind of like, you know, like they're uprising. It could really go in a million different directions. And I'm kind of curious to see which take they go after. So,
yeah.
And I think, you know, HBO, Game of Thrones winding down, they kind of need another juggernaut. And this is what they're hoping it is. So we'll see.
It's also interesting to see a lot of dystopian movies and TV shows and art coming out revolving around robots now. And, you know, I feel like every big fear has it's a trend. It's a fashion trend. You remember mm-hmm. when, like, 5 years ago, everything was about zombies?
Of course, yeah.
Everything.
Before that, vampires.
You know? Before that, vampires. It's just everything, you know, we kind of have, like, a national fear where everyone gets worried about something, and I'm wondering what the next one will be.
Well, I mean, we're kind of going from, like, robots to just, you know, shapeless, just AI, just artificial intelligence, you know, in the walls or all around us, but it's kind of a natural progression. So, yeah, I'm sure in a few years there'll be something else that surprises us.
That, actually, those words that you just uttered, kind of like a shapeless mm-hmm. network around, that gave me the chills.
It's happening.
We should, yeah. That's going to be the next trend. Just the, you know, some unnamed AI taking over our house and our cars and
Skynet
phones. Oh, God, that's terrifying.
Oh, yeah. Good times. What else is going on? Anything else this week?
Yeah, I think Thursday night, the NFL draft.
Wow.
Right?
I can't believe it's, you know, every year after the end of football season, I get a little sad and, you know, watch a little March Madness and kind of fill the time until spring training. But the draft is a nice reminder. Football's on the verge of coming back again. So, yeah, I'm excited.
I love the draft. It's so fun. I mean, you know, the year is a pup, basically.
Yeah.
Everything is new. Everyone has a chance. You know, I got to say, when will it be the Cleveland Browns' time?
Never.
I'm just waiting for that. That is, they have suffered for so long. I'm not a Cleveland fan, but that is unfair.
And it's one of those things where how many losing seasons have they had? You know, they've had good draft picks.
Too many.
For years. So, I don't know what the problem is, but hopefully this is the year they can turn it around.
I mean, they've got overall pick number one, mm-hmm. overall pick number four. You know, they got Myles Garrett last year. I mean, they have had some bad picks.
Sure.
They've had very high picks. Like, they just keep sometimes. And the worst part is the past couple of years, they were in positions to draft, you know, great quarterbacks like Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
And they traded out of those picks and let, you know, Houston take Deshaun. And, you know, I just, it's sad. It just, I mean, they're such passionate fans that I really want to see them, you know, win a Super Bowl.
Sure.
It's the same thing that happened with the Eagles, you know, like
exactly.
Yeah.
On paper, you know, Cleveland always seems to have all the right pieces, but yeah, that's just unfortunately not how it plays out. So
they just need a quarterback so badly.
All signs point to them taking one with the first pick, and then the Giants, my favorite team, has the second pick. And I do think they're going to take a quarterback as well, but we'll see.
All right.
And then Jets third. And yeah, as you said, Cleveland is again with a fourth pick.
I had a scheme that I wanted to, I don't know if I should call it a scheme because that has really negative connotations, but I had an idea to buy, you know, what are called PSLs, where basically a personal seat license, which is the right to a season ticket at an NFL stadium.
Okay.
And so basically, if you buy that right, you get to buy the season tickets for that seat. Then you can trade that right. Someone else can pay you more for that right. So it's almost like an option on a seat. And so the Browns, so basically, you know, very big market, successful teams.
Sure.
The PSLs for the front row, 50-yard line, whatever, they go for, you know, they can go for like $40,000, $50,000 just for the right for that seat.
Wow.
And, you know, people thought they were crazy for buying a $10,000 and now selling them for $50,000. A year ago, I remember looking at the Cleveland Browns PSLs for like the front row or the fourth row, whatever it was, and it was like $1,000, like $2,000. And I was like, would it be insane to take some like of my my 401k invested in Cleveland Browns PSLs? And then I was like, yeah, it probably was. It probably is insane. And lo and behold, here they are, you know, a year later, drafting first overall again.
Yeah, winless.
I'm just like, at some point though, they're going to, you know, at some point they've got to win.
You would think.
I just, you know, it happened to the Bucks. The Bucks were terrible for decades.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's not fair. Like, it's really not fair.
Their time will come.
Yeah. I like Lamar Jackson out of, what is he, Louisville?
Yeah.
You know, he's not the consensus number one or even number four quarterback. I just like him. He's good. He's very good. Athletic. He's good passer. I mean,
yeah. I'm curious where that running back from Penn State ends up.
Saquon Barkley, right? Mm-hmm. Saquon Barkley, yep.
You know, the NFL has been so kind of apprehensive of drafting running backs, you know, high in the first round. So,
oh yeah,
he really seems to have every single check seems to be there for him.
You know, even the best running backs, though, like I remember Adrian Peterson. I think he was drafted like seventh or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an incredible talent and you know, potentially heading to the Hall of Fame. They haven't won a Super Bowl with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's almost, you know, and the teams that have won Super Bowls, I'm not sure. I don't know if I could name you the starting running backs on those teams.
You know, but yeah, I mean, it is a passing league. It's a quarterback league. So it makes sense why these guys aren't going that high in the draft.
I'm trying to think. I mean, there's the New Orleans Saints. I don't even remember who their running back was.
It was like Mark Ingram on the team.
Maybe. I don't know, though. I mean, I don't think. Maybe he was drafted after. There's
a lot of teams are doing, you know, running back by committee or kind of,
right,
you know, your third down back, your every down, but, you know. So it's not the NFL of the 90s, early 2000s.
Right. Not to mention, I mean, there's injuries. Like, that's, you know,
yeah,
if you draft a guy second overall or whatever, you know, I don't know. I mean, he's going to at some point get hurt. And I don't know. You know, he's got to be a great blocker, first of all, in this league. So I don't know. But I'm so excited for the draft. I can't wait.
Thursday night, it should be good. And then this weekend, the Avengers Infinity War comes out.
Oh,
I will be seeing it this weekend for sure. Mike, are you going to be able to see it?
I'm going to try to see it. My wife actually is performing. She's a singer.
Oh, wow.
And so she's going to be performing this weekend, and I will be attending that. And I'm sure at some point I will definitely try to get to a movie theater with her, because she's excited too. So
sure.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know, if all goes well and we both see it, I think, you know, a full episode or at least a big chunk of next week's episode, we should do kind of a spoiler cast.
Definitely.
On our thoughts and our review of Infinity War, because I am
100%
so excited. It's crazy.
I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm like getting the chills.
I'm also at that point where it's like the reviews are starting to trickle out, and it's like the internet is a scary place. I'm like, don't go on Reddit.
Don't go on
Twitter.
No.
Don't go on YouTube. Like, there's just so many sites I like can't go to until I see this film.
Yeah. Yeah. I just need to. I don't want to know anything now. Now it's crunch time.
Exactly.
Now it's like things can be real. Oh, my nine year old nephew. I was at his brother's birthday party this weekend. It's relevant. Don't worry. And he got a Lego set.
Ooh.
From Infinity War.
Ooh.
And it had a spoiler. If I tell you the name of the Lego set and what was going on, it would give away a plot point.
Wow.
Yeah.
Lego. How dare you?
I couldn't believe it. I was like, wait a second. Is that what I think it's
implying? It's unavoidable. You know, it's everywhere around us. Someone's saying something or some headline. It's unavoidable.
I mean, it's just, I want to be surprised, so.
So do I. Yeah. That's all I want. I mean,
you know, it didn't stop me. Once I saw it, it didn't stop me from trying to, like, piece together the entire plot of the movie from this one Lego set. I'm like, which one of these is the Infinity Stone?
And yes. Does someone look injured? Is there an injured Lego?
They did. I was looking for, like, scars on their face.
Yeah, right?
I couldn't stop.
Little X's over the Lego eyes.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, that is that's our show, and we will get back to you guys next week, hopefully with Infinity War spoilers and reviews.
Fantastic. Well, good episode, Mike. Enjoy the draft. Hope you get to see Avengers. Thank you, everyone, for listening. If anyone would like to reach us with emails, questions, concerns, you guys can reach us at putzingaroundpodcast@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter @putzing_around. And yeah, please feel free to reach out. So thank you very much, everybody. And we will talk to you next week.
See you next week.
All right. Bye.